Pentecost is a miracle story. The reading from Acts chapter 2 talks about the power of the Holy Spirit, that just as Jesus had promised that he would send the Holy Spirit to give the disciples to be empowered to be witnesses, here it comes on the day of Pentecost, which we'll say a bit more about in a moment. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit rested upon them like a tongue of fire. I want you to just think about this imagery. So weird. A tongue of fire rests upon them, and they have now the ability to speak in other languages. Now, this is a miracle, first of all, of speaking. And the clue for us in the text in Acts chapter 2 is when the crowd says, "Aren't all of these Galileans?" Which is an insult, by the way. The Galileans were notoriously just blue-collar and weren't highly educated. So it would have been a shock for the crowd to see them having this wide capacity. And great job with all of those fun names. Cappadocians and Medes and Elamites and Mesopotamia, Cretans, Arabs, the whole known world. That was what we might think of as an exhaustive list, sort of the United Nations of that day. And all of these people, Jewish pilgrims, came to Jerusalem for the festival of Pentecost. And they had all their different languages, and because of their background, the disciples could not share the gospel. And that's the words, the content of what they spoke is the story of Jesus. They were witnesses. They were witnesses. They told what they saw Jesus do, what it means that he died on a cross and rose from the dead. And they do so with this miraculous ability to speak in all the native languages. That's a key distinction as well. They're not just given the ability to speak in the native language of each, the language of their hearts. They hear the story of Jesus. They hear of the love that Jesus has for all people, all the way to the cross. And so the story of Pentecost, if nothing else, is a story, it's a miracle story of being able to speak. Now, I have questions about this. I've always thought, did the disciples retain these language abilities after the Pentecost was over? Did they have the capacity to continue to speak Cretan or Italian or whatever the language is for the rest of their lives, or was it a momentary ability granted to them for the urgency of that moment? Either way, it's a miracle of speaking. And I've often thought that if I had one superpower, it wouldn't be to fly, or it certainly wouldn't be invisibility. If someone says they want to be invisible, like they're creepy, just for the record. That's super creepy. But the ability to speak other languages, in fact, an infinite number of languages, to be able to communicate with people is amazing. We can't share the gospel if we can't communicate with people. And so these apostles, appointed by Jesus, have been equipped and empowered with the Holy Spirit to speak what they've seen, what they've heard, what they've witnessed of Jesus and his life, death, and resurrection. But the story of Pentecost is a miracle story. And it's not just a miracle story of speaking, because the disciples can have all the abilities in the world, but if they have no one to talk to, it won't begin the church. Because that's really what the story of Pentecost is. That's why we wear red. That's why we make it a big deal. Pentecost is the birthday of the church. And it's a miracle story of hearing. that they heard the gospel in their native language. And if you continue to read in Acts chapter 2, Peter gives his first big sermon. He preaches about the meaning, not just witnessing to what he's seen and heard of Jesus, but he begins to articulate a vision. What was God up to on the cross? What does it mean that the Son of God came into this world and gave himself on a cross and then defeated death and the grave? And Peter preaches his first sermon. And it's a miracle, because even though the end in verse 13 in Acts chapter 2 says, they are filled with new wine. It said some sneered, but some were interested and wanted to know more. And if you read in Acts chapter 2, it says 3,000 people heard the gospel that day and were baptized. I want you to think about that. We talked about this in my class this spring. Can you wrap your head around if 3,000 people showed up at Bethel in one day and said, I want to be baptized and be part of the church? I'd be pretty excited. We'd also be absolute chaos and pandemonium, right? How long do you think communion would take? A long time. So it's a miracle story that one sermon produces 3,000 baptisms. The Holy Spirit was moving in their hearts. It wasn't just moving and allowing the disciples to preach and to share. It was moving in the hearts of those who were gathered, that they could sense that God was moving within them and opened them up to receive. And 3,000 people were added to the church. They were baptized. And it says that they devoted themselves to the teachings of the apostles, to the breaking of bread, to prayers and fellowship. They began the church. The Holy Spirit is a miracle of hearing. The Pentecost story is also a miracle of timing. This very short gospel passage, which is an alternative text, and I've never used it on Pentecost before, but it talks about the Holy Spirit being within us like a living water. But if you go back to the first verse, it says, at the final day of the festival. And I was thinking, what festival is this? Well, on the Jewish calendar, there were two bookend festivals. The festival of Pentecost, which is 50 days after Passover. That's what Pentecost means, 50. Is a festival at the beginning of the harvest season. So it's like the first fruits. You were to bring the first fruits of the harvest to the temple as a way to honor God and praying for the blessings of the season to come. The festival of the tabernacles or booths was in the fall. And if you've ever had Jewish friends or neighbors, it's often common that they will build a booth in their yard. My neighbor growing up, the Sieglers, did this every fall. They built a booth, and the festival was 8 days. So for 7 days, you were to basically camp out in the booth, the tabernacle, and there were water rituals where you would be praying for water for the upcoming season, and in bringing that to the temple in various ways. And then on the eighth day, it says the final day of the festival, that was the party. That was the jubilant celebration. And so the difference between Pentecost and the festival of booths is one is in the spring and one is in the fall, but also one is one day. The festival of Pentecost is one day, 50 days after Passover. The festival of booths is 8 days. Pilgrims come for both their mandatory kind of festivals. But Jesus, when he's told, if you read in chapter 7, he's being encouraged to basically show himself to be the Messiah, to be the Son of God. And he says, it's not my time. The Holy Spirit has perfect timing. It was much more impactful if everyone shows up on one day than showing up for 8 days when people might be coming and going and having various things to distract them. If you have an event that happens one day, everyone's together, all the energy and excitement is happening in that one day, and that's when God chose that the Holy Spirit would be poured out on the speakers, on the hearers, on the whole world. Because in that moment, at that exact time, God's plan of salvation is poured out for all to hear, and the church is born. I've been thinking about God's timing and how often I am not blessed with the gift of patience. Have you ever prayed fervently for something and then it doesn't happen? And then maybe one day, one moment, everything kind of opens up and it all comes to fruition, almost like God planned it that way. It happens all the time. God's timing, the Spirit's timing, is always perfect. It's not on our timeline. But Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit being like a living water within us, that we will no longer be thirsty, we'll no longer be hungry. But the key thing for us is we have to submit to God's timing. We have to submit to the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us, because we have our own agendas, don't we? We have our own ideas of what life should be. And we often, when we pursue our own agenda, find ourselves lost. The Holy Spirit will nudge us and guide us to a place not only where we're supposed to be, but to do the things that God would have us do, to find ways to be a blessing in the world. So I'll give you one very small concrete example of something I've tried very hard to listen to. If you've ever had a moment, and I want you to raise your hand if this is true, have you ever had a moment where someone who you maybe don't see all the time, they just pop into your head? You ever had that moment? You're just randomly going throughout your day and you go, what's a random name? Carl, thank you. Carl. Here's what I want you to do. When you get the Carl, you got to call them. You got to pray for them. You got to reach out. And if you've ever had someone reach out to you and you're like, wow, that was just what I needed. I needed someone to talk to. I needed someone to reach out to me to show that I wasn't forgotten. Or, and many of you send cards to one another, our care team, or just more informally, when people receive a little note that I've been thinking of you, or I'm remembering you this day. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. And you never know if the impact of that, but I can assure you, it matters. So if the Holy Spirit nudges you to think about something, do something about it. Call them, send them a note, say a prayer. It happens all the time, and it's amazing. Instead of going, oh, I'll have to do that later, probably the Holy Spirit is going to move on and maybe remind you later, or maybe you missed it. It's the moment that we have. Every moment is a blessed moment, and when the Holy Spirit brings something to our attention, we just need to be more and more attentive, because the story of Pentecost is a miracle story. It's a miracle of timing, and it's a miracle of listening. And we, as the baptized, and that through the Holy Spirit, we have the opportunity to listen, to attune our ears and our hearts to the nudging of the Spirit, to the guiding of our path, leading us to evermore love God with all our heart and love our neighbor as ourself. This is our highest calling. We are children of God. Let us be connected to one another and attuned to the Spirit. Amen.